It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Let's have a conversation about the National Football League and where we sit right now. Now, I understand that some of you will just argue that the NFL is king among everything. And some of you, I don't believe, are capable of having a conversation about the sport. But that's what we try to do on this show sometimes. We try to challenge you guys. That's our job. The NFL has a quarterback and offensive problem right now. Now, I know some of you hear this as that the defenses have finally caught up to the offenses. I don't think that's entirely what it is. I think there are a couple of different things. Let's go through them. Number one, quarterback play is bad in the National Football League. There's really no other way to argue it right now. Quarterback play is bad. Let me give you guys a statistic. So in 2021, so not that long ago, there were 61 passing touchdowns in week one of the NFL season. There were also 61 touchdown passes in 2019. In 2020, it was 52. In 2022, there were 51. So just two seasons ago, there were 51 passing touchdowns in the first week of the NFL season. Last year, there were 37 passing touchdowns in the first week of the season. This year, it was 35 passing touchdowns in week one. To give you guys a comparison for how many interceptions were thrown. So there were 35 touchdown passes that were thrown. There were 27 interceptions this week in the National Football League. So 35 touchdown passes and 27 interceptions this year so far in the National Football League. If you want to go through some of the numbers. Now, again, I understand that this is a very small sample size. There were only two quarterbacks in the league that threw for over the season. It was Tua. He threw that in the first game of the season. Also, Matthew Stafford. Fair to note that that game also went to overtime as well. Only two quarterbacks in the NFL that threw for over 300 yards. Half of the teams in the NFL this week scored 21 or fewer points. There is an offense. There is a quarterback problem in the National Football League. A major reason why is offensive line. It's bad. It's really bad in the National Football League. I think the second thing is, and why I don't think Rob is willing to have this conversation, it is not a surprise to me as more and more people like Rob try to tell me that running back doesn't matter and that anybody can do it and that running backs are interchangeable, how the quarterback play continues to get worse and worse as the offensive line play has completely gone the other way, and also teams devalue the running back. It was so telling to me watching the Giants this offseason where they're sitting there, and these are people that know football. And the general manager of the Giants says, we didn't pay Daniel Jones $40 million to give the ball to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, He sure seemed to help Philadelphia win. I don't know if they win that game on Friday night if they don't have Saquon Barkley. Maybe he would have helped the Giants, who didn't score a touchdown in week one. So there are a lot of different reasons on why I think offense is so down in the National Football League. I think this is the biggest gap we have ever seen between the have quarterbacks in the NFL and the have-nots. You have so many young quarterbacks playing. Almost all of the rookie quarterbacks played poorly this weekend. Bo Nix was not that good this weekend. Caleb Williams was bad this weekend. Jaden Daniels, I guess, played okay, but he was not great throwing the football. So you have so many young quarterbacks playing in the league and guys that are adjusting. I think that's also kind of lowered the quality of the NFL. I think offensive line play is bad. I also don't think the teams are committed to running the football. All the things that you need to do to support your young quarterback and support your offense. Rob, there are so few teams in the league that are doing that right now.
How much of it is, and I'm going to downplay the running back part of this because you know my feelings on running back, but how much is this what Mitch Holthus was talking about yesterday? And Mitch Holthus has drilled this into our heads. August matters. June matters. July matters. We don't talk about it in June, July, and August because we as media people and sports fans don't really care about June, July, and August, but OTAs are less physical than they've ever been. Quarterbacks are just leaving OTAs and mini camps and be like, nah, I'm good. You're seeing more Camp Pat type things around the country. It's like, hey, we're going to go throw together, but we're not going to go to the work event, for lack of a better term. Like, Lamar Jackson just skipped portions of OTAs. Aaron Rodgers just skipped portions of OTAs. Like, those things matter. And we had Tony Gonzalez on the show yesterday. Check out the podcast page. And he was talking about, well, you know, players these days have it so easy. When I was up there, I had two-a-days and Marty Schottenheimer and River Falls and all this and that, and it was more physical than ever. That's not how camp is nowadays. Well, you can't learn line play in a non-physical environment. You can't learn how to pass protect in a non-physical environment. You can't do those things in a non-physical practice, and if quarterbacks are going to skip the voluntary portions and O-line play is going to be guardian caps and patty cake most of camp, this is the result we're going to see, especially when you consider ain't no one playing in the preseason anymore. So as much as I would love to agree with you, be like, yeah, it's running back. Bring them back. They're important. I think it's what Mitch Holthus says. August matters, and no one but the Kansas City seems to really take August seriously.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, but I guess the question then is going to be, how do you turn things around with where the offense is? I think you and I noticed a decline in quarterback play last year in the National Football League, and all it's done is continue. And we can go through some of the starting quarterbacks in the league, and we can argue that it's week one. Cleveland's quarterback situation ain't getting much better than what it is. The Giants' quarterback situation isn't getting much better. The Raiders, again, I think this is the biggest gap we have ever seen between, there are a handful of teams that obviously have a good quarterback. I am not worried that Patrick Mahomes didn't throw for 300 yards. He threw for 291 yards and had 10.4 yards per attempt. Mahomes played really well this season. The amount of quarterbacks that are actually good in the National Football League, that number is less than 10. The amount of consistent quarterbacks that I think you have in the National Football League, I think, is a small number. We have got to the point where Baker Mayfield is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, where for a long time, we would argue that he was on the low end of it. We have now lived long enough where, hey, Baker's capable. Baker's probably in the top 12. I would have thought this was crazy a month ago. But if I ask you right now, what quarterback would you rather have the rest of the season? Would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Kirk Cousins? I can make a very strong argument that it's Baker Mayfield. He's played really well for the last two seasons. Now, maybe it is just a week one overreaction to what we saw here, but it's a lot of bad quarterback play in the league. And I'm not sure if the offense is really going to turn up too much more from what we just saw this past weekend. I don't think it's going to be as bad where it's 35 touchdown passes and 27 interceptions. That's a really low number. So I don't think it's going to be that bad moving forward, but I don't know how the NFL is certainly trying to do things to get the offense back going, but some of it is the rules. They call 21 illegal formations and illegal shifts. So many penalties that really have nothing to do with the game and the scoring. They're clearly trying to, like, the whole point of the kickoff is to try to boost offense. They got to do a little bit more than where we are right now.
I also think, and this is my anti-running back hat coming on, I don't think emphasizing running is also some magic cure-all. Like, I don't have the stats in front of me, but let's just use the Chiefs game as the example. The Chiefs running back play was also bad this week. There were pockets and moments in different games across the league where it wasn't just quarterback. Now, when quarterback's down, offense as a whole is going to be down. But we can look at a lot of teams and say, well, they didn't score. The running back was also bad. Packers-Eagles. I know this as a proud FanDuel bettor as Josh Jacobs' anytime touchdown. He was bad for the Packers on Friday night. So I understand the leap you're making, but I don't think they're just, hey, let's reemphasize running is a magic cure-all to the offensive issues that are plaguing the league.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, is this a problem? Maybe the league is catching up, defensive ends being the best athletes on the field. I agree with you. I think one of the bigger problems right now is that DNs are so far ahead of offensive players. The league runs on quarterback play, and the league runs on scoring. The reason you are so interested in fantasy football is because guys score points and teams score points. Half the league scored less than 21 points this past weekend. So if you guys are happy with it, and people are certainly watching it and engaging in the National Football League, but week one, it was not a great product in the NFL, and we just keep on pushing along. But the quarterback play was bad this year. I do want to know how in just such a short period of time, I mean, we cut passing touchdowns from 2 years ago in half in week one. DNs just didn't get better than the offensive players over the course of the last 2 years. Something needs to be done, in my opinion, to kind of balance this thing back out to get offenses going a little bit more. And it's funny enough to say that the game has already been made easier for quarterbacks. Maybe we got to do a little bit more, because there are about 12 to 14 teams that have absolutely abysmal quarterback play from a week in and week out basis. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Aaron Ladd, sports director over at KSHB 41 News, who fired me off Sunday Sound Off this week, even though I agreed to do it. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He thinks he's internet famous.
Smoking on the Joe Burrow.
Smoking on the Joe Burrow.
How's it feel to be headed back to Super Bowl?
It feels great.
But you have no idea who he is. It's Aaron Ladd, and he joins The Drive with CDOT.
I want to tell you guys a true story before I introduce Aaron Ladd.
Fabrication. Don't believe it. Fake news.
2 weeks ago, Aaron Ladd asked me to come on Sunday Sound Off.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, ask Rob to do it, and then I will do it next week. I did everything in my power to move my schedule around so I could be available. Jeez. It's Sunday at 4 o'clock. I'm putting my Sunday best on. I was wearing a suit and tie. I was like Justin Timberlake back on the 2020 album.
You had a flannel on?
No, I had a suit and tie.
You don't own a suit and tie.
This was a special appearance for my brother Aaron Ladd.
You didn't even wear a suit to Rob's wedding.
I was like, hey, what time do you need me there? Oh, man, we replaced you. What? You've been asking me to come on this show for weeks, and now I agree to do it, and you fired me? I got fired on my day off?
Yeah, we just, you know, we went in another direction, you know?
Wow, you went another creative direction.
You were qualified, like Isaiah Thomas would say. You met all the requirements.
Wow, you're saying I'm the Isaiah Thomas of Sunday Sound Off. That's what you're saying? That's crazy. Aaron Ladd joins us in studio. All right, Aaron, let's have a conversation that I'm not really sure if any other sports show in the city is capable of having this conversation. I don't know why we are unable to have realistic, honest conversations about people's interactions with the police. The Tyreek Hill video,
yeah.
I watched it from start to finish. It went almost exactly how I said it probably did yesterday on the show. If you are a young African-American male, you have been in that situation that Tyreek Hill is in.
Sure.
You get pulled over. It's something kind of minor. You get a little annoyed, a little angry. Why are you making this a big deal? You are at a 5 or a 6. Now, you would expect the police officer to try to de-escalate this situation. That's a 5 or a 6 and turn this thing into a 2 or a 3. Everybody go home happy. Let's not make this a big deal. We also know that sometimes you run into police officers that do not have that mindset and take an issue that's a 5 or 6 and turn it into a 12 or 13, which I saw on this video. I am not saying that Tyreek Hill is in the right here. I'm not saying the police officer's in the right here. I'm not telling you Tyreek is in the wrong and the officer's in the wrong. Both of them contributed to escalating this situation. Anytime, I'm not really too interested in talking to the police. I'm trying to do as little as I can so I can make sure that we end this interaction and I can go on about my day.
Get in and get out.
What do you need? You need my license? You need my ID? Is there any weapons in the car? No. Any drugs in the car? No. I'm trying to hand you what you need. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to go on about my day. Tyreek is a little bit at fault for this incident.
The rolling up the window is where things went awry.
And you know, if you roll up the window and you kind of disrespect the officer to his face, you know this thing's about to turn. You know that's about to turn. So I'm not putting all the blame on Tyreek, and it is 100% on the officer, in my opinion, to de-escalate this situation. I also think that some of it, we have just told misinformation about this, which is kind of common in this. Our top text, Tyreek was going 100 in a 35 and not listening to
not
the officer.
True.
He was not going 100 miles an hour. See what happens here? The cops then create a story and a narrative. Everybody believes it. That's not true.
I think
the cop says he didn't even have a radar gun. He guesstimated and thought he was going 60. Now, was Tyreek speeding? Sure. Should Tyreek have listened better to him? Absolutely here. But I don't know why we have to make Tyreek Hill a martyr where he's on CNN. In talking about police and justice. It's the second time we tried to do this. We tried to make Tyreek Hill Nelson Mandela. And I also don't know why we have to be on the side of the police officers in this. The police officers were clearly wrong in this scenario.
Well, we just use these situations because we get one of these videos every few years. I'm glad, and my stomach almost turns anytime we get one of these videos in the aftermath of George Floyd because we know how poorly these situations can go. We use these situations to kind of plant our flags in our stances that we already have. We don't change our opinions based on what happens in these situations. We see these videos and people who side one way go further onto their side and people who are on one side go further into the other side. To me, Dot, it's clear. We have a problem with policing in our country. People who are trained in protecting and serving and trained in de-escalation, I didn't see that from the officers in this situation. That's aside from whatever you think that should happen from them. The teammates coming in to try to come to their aid, recording, trying to understand what's happening, trying to be aid to their teammate there and just get a lens into what the situation is. They're then given three. There was a point in the video where Calais Campbell is getting three different directions from three different officers. It's like, what is the protocol here? Why does it vary so much differently from state to state? Why does it seem like these situations, thankfully, this one did not end catastrophically, but why does it seem like these situations continue to happen year in and year out?
But I guess my frustration, at least in this conversation, is we're all adults here, right? You've been pulled over at some point before.
Yeah.
I don't know why when you say everybody goes to their respective sides, whether you're on Tyreek's side of how he handled it or you're on the officer's side. No one seems willing to tell their side, yo, you could have handled this situation differently. Those are conversations that we have in our real life. if I do something wrong, Rob needs to check me because we are working together to try to figure this thing out.
You would admit that you did something wrong?
100%. Vice versa. That's life. Yeah, right. That's life. Yeah, you got to do this. Like, I don't know why one side that will side with the police in every single instance. Like, we have enough examples of, hey, maybe there's a better way to handle these situations than this. Like, there's a better way to do it. I will tell this to any young black person, any person. I'm not giving the cops no reason. That's me. I'm not giving the cops a reason. And the moment you roll the window up,
You've created a reason for the police.
And I'm not in the business of doing that. Sure. I'm not in the business of creating incidents with the police. The moment you do that action, you got to be prepared that this thing can go left. You have to be prepared in that scenario. So protect yourself if you're Tyreek Hill in this scenario. Sure. Give me information. Give him your registration. This is a 5-minute thing. He writes you a ticket and you go on about the rest of your day. That situation should not lead to you being outside the car in handcuffs.
Sometimes that agitates them a little bit more, though. I was told in college that you should always videotape and record every instance you have with a law enforcement officer. That's not illegal, but then it almost creates a problem where there previously wasn't one. Like we've all gotten the talk. I remember very vividly my dad sitting me down in a Chick-fil-A one time and saying, you know what? Now's the time. You need to understand what happens when you're in these situations.
100%.
And sometimes when you get money, when you get fame, when you get clout, when you're a multi-million dollar athlete in a nice car and you're in the shadow of the stadium on game day, you think you can just roll your window up and say, you know what? Let's just handle this the way we need to be handled. But like, I don't know how anyone can watch that video and say that was handled in a proper way from a law enforcement perspective.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Aaron Ladd with KSHB 41 News. I don't know how you transition from our good old police brutality conversation on the day. That's what we do on the drive. We had a little police brutality and Happy Gilmore on the show.
You're a pro.
You don't
really
get much here.
Sure.
Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, I guess you went viral. I mean, it was okay, I guess.
That's the intro to my segment.
Yeah, I mean it's not like people ever really quote that.
What do you mean? It's on T-shirts. Like, I saw Alex Gold with the T-shirt on earlier this week. It's smoking on that Joe Burrow week, if you will.
You take credit for that?
I mean, it was often imitated after that. I know you saw about 4 or 5 reporters after that run up to him and say, "Oh, are you smoking on that Jalen Hurts this week?" Corny.
You think whenever you die and you go to heaven, you think that's going to be like the thing, like, man, why should I be in here? Like, I'm going to hand the Kanye bracket. I'm directly going to hell. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I did the Kanye bracket. I do not know you. Please get away from me.
It'll be
a blurb. You're going to hand them the smoking on that Joe Burrow. That's going to be your work when you pass.
It'll be a blurb. I was at Park Hill High School earlier today and
Had you being an inspiration to the kids.
Correct. I talked to their young leadership class this morning, and that was one of the...
You were like, I was you 3 weeks ago. I just got my GED recently. That was you talking to the kids.
They were like, and the teacher was like, how many of y'all have seen this? It was a couple hands that went up. So the legacy is still out there.
I'm just asking. I just didn't know you were out here speaking to the police. I didn't know you were doing that.
No,
I was not speaking to the police.
I
was reading the text line. It got me thrown off.
I don't think smoking on that Joe Burrow needs to be run this week. I mean, if the Chiefs play their B-plus game, it seems like they can beat the Cincy team that went out there and laid an egg against Gerard Mayo's Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know. Just Cincinnati is so weird to me because
they don't play well in September.
They do not play well. But if there is any team that Cincinnati could play that could refocus and recenter the Cincinnati Bengals, it is the one they are about to play. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't care what happened in week one. You don't have to tell Joe Burrow too much to get him ready to play the Chiefs. You don't have to tell Ja'Marr Chase too much to get the Chiefs. I expect them to start yapping starting tomorrow when they go back in front of the media. That's what always happens when these two teams play each other. Somebody starts saying something. Justin Reed says something. Then Ja'Marr Chase says something. T. Higgins magically gets healthy this week, even though he wasn't healthy last week. And you also have to know if you're Cincinnati. Now, they've come back from an 0-2 deficit to make the postseason, make the Super Bowl, so I don't think it's it. And the numbers are pretty set in stone about the difference in starting 1-1 and the difference in starting 0-2. And the hole that you create for yourself when you start 0-2. Losing week one at home to the New England Patriots is maybe the worst loss you can have in the league.
Sure.
It is certainly in the conversation of one of the worst losses you can have.
It was the largest spread on the board, 7.5.
You cannot lose to that team at home.
I'm not... Look... I hear you. You're going to get jazzed up. You're going to get amped up. This is the team that you have the rivalry with, and it brings up all those fuzzy feelings and emotions when you play them. But if you're not playing your best football, that's not just a flip of a switch historically in September. Like, this is a team that does start slow. You mentioned them starting 0-2 and then still making it. Like, I don't know how much of that changes just because you're playing the Chiefs. If anything, that makes it harder, especially on the road. This is going to tell me a lot about KC, too. I heard Fesco say that KC is head and shoulders above the rest of the league after week one. I don't know if we can say that based off, especially how week one finished.
Yeah, I mean, to me now, we're arguing semantics. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the league. Are they head and shoulders better than everybody? I don't know.
We're also going off 1 week. We're going off four quarters.
Yeah, I don't know if they're head and shoulders above San Francisco. I don't know if they're head and shoulders over the Lions. But if they played each of those teams tomorrow, I'd pick the Chiefs to win the game.
Sure. And I'm picking them to beat Cincy, to be honest with you. But it game script matters. I like Rob, want to see more from the running back room. I didn't think Isaiah Pacheco was great in week one. I didn't think he looked relatively explosive in week one as well. I'm curious. This will be a real test. Has the spread come out already? I haven't paid attention.
Yeah, the Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites in the game. Ooh. Which seems right to me at home. It seems right.
That's a lot of points, my dog.
It is a lot of points. I mean, yeah, I think that's about in line with this game based on what we saw Cincinnati do in week one and based on where it is at home. I mean, we say that Cincinnati is going to give you their A game. If there's one team I know the Chiefs aren't going to look past, it's the team that they're playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know the Chiefs are bringing maximum effort. They could be playing San Francisco at home. They could be playing the Lions at home. I know they want to beat Cincinnati.
I never question the Chiefs' effort. It's always about their execution. The effort is usually always there.
We can name about five games off the top of our head where the Chiefs just come out there and it's like, okay. They did that against your Falcons a couple of years ago. Remember that late in the season game they just came out there? They did that on Christmas against the Raiders. They just went out there and were just, whatever happens.
That team.
They have one of those games a year. They're not having that game against Cincinnati. That game might come up against New Orleans later in the season. They might have that game against Tampa Bay where it's like, what are you guys doing? Where they get down 13-0 early and they got to get some Mahomes magic to save them. That is not happening against Cincinnati.
Do you think Hollywood Brown is close to ready, or is that smoke?
I thought from the very beginning that he's going to miss the first two games and play Sunday Night Football against the Falcons.
I don't think it's a bad call. I saw Andy say on Monday that he's getting closer. I think that might be a little smoke. We might be a little ambitious there.
I mean, I also think getting closer is just a very vague phrase. It's getting closer. Yeah, he's definitely. That's like, oh man,
we're all
getting older.
Closer.
Everybody is getting older. You know what I mean? You're not getting any. No one's getting any younger. We're all getting older. We all can only take things day by day. There's no way to skip from Tuesday to Thursday. You have to go through Wednesday.
Especially you. You're always getting older.
Okay. All right. Now I'm starting to see how I got fired earlier this week. I'm starting to make a lot more sense here. We got Aaron Ladd joining us in studio right now. All right, Aaron, I'm going to give you your time right now.
Thank you.
You want your 1 minute? How much time do you need today?
I mean, this is a very topical. I want you in on this. I don't need an ISO on this.
You don't need an ISO. It's
I
your
don't
time.
Need an
if
ISO
you want to pass
this.
The ball to me on your time, I've been carrying you on these segments enough anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't have any problem carrying you.
I don't understand why people are acting like Kendrick Lamar is a charity case.
You don't want the music for it? You're just going a cappella. You B-Rabbit now? I know you was B-Rabbit now.
It's like all of a sudden the Wayne Hive has come out of left field as if he was a deserving candidate just because it was in New Orleans. That's not how these things work. Yes, music is regional, but the Super Bowl is not a regional event, Carrington. I'm going to read off the Super Bowl halftime performing acts from the last few years.
The last time it was in New Orleans, Beyonce did it. She's from Houston.
Beyonce, Houston. Bruno Mars from Honolulu when it was in New Jersey. Katy Perry in Glendale, Arizona. Coldplay in Santa Clara. Lady Gaga in Houston. Justin Timberlake in Minneapolis. Maroon 5 in Atlanta. The list goes on and on. I love Lil Wayne. I appreciate Lil Wayne. An absolute legend in the game. And I think where people are kind of conflating it is if you were going to go rap, because I think a lot of people were thinking, we got a lot of black acts in a row. Maybe they were going to throw us a Taylor Swift or something like that.
I actually
thought
this was the Morgan Wallen one.
I would have definitely switched that halftime on that one.
That's what I thought it was going to be. He's had a great year.
Or like a Post Malone or something like that.
You think Post Malone is host the Super Bowl? You think that's where he's at in his career?
I didn't see Kendrick coming. But I think he's an absolute
incredible year.
I think he's an absolute dirt. But also, you got to remember, he just did like a little medley 3 years ago.
Yeah, he did one song.
No, he did three songs.
Oh, he didn't? Oh, I thought he did All Right.
DNA, he did All Right, and he did one other song.
I guess someone who has seen both of them in concert recently. Like, I just saw Lil Wayne when he was here during the Kelce Jam, and I went to Kendrick Lamar's concert when he was here. It's not close as a performer. It's not even kind of close who's going to put on the better Super Bowl halftime show. And maybe I'm just a little too old for this. We had to sit through U2. We've had to sit through The Who. We've had to sit through Bruce Springsteen. You know what I'm not ever complaining about? Hearing the music I want to hear during halftime. I would have taken Lil Wayne. I would have took Kendrick Lamar. I would have took Big Sean. Play music I want to hear during the halftime. I'm not here to listen to your music during halftime. If they had played Morgan Wallen, it's just a bath time break for me. Oh, I'm not trying to hear Last Night.
Fill up on the snacks at that point. Get a little more buffalo chicken dip.
So I'm perfectly fine with the choice that they have.
Do we get a Not Like Us snippet in this? That's my other part of it.
They're going to play the beat at least.
That's the biggest song of the year. Because I explain this to a lot of OVO fans like yourself. I'm like, look, you know, this is the biggest song of the year on the biggest stage in music.
Rob and I got into an argument because he played that as one of the bounce back music. And I was like, don't ever do that around me again. Don't play that beat around me.
Only the most popular song of the year. Can't play it on the show.
Beat around me, man.
We got to play Drake songs, but we don't get to play Kendrick. That's the rule.
I picked a side.
Yeah, we know.
The losing side.
Beforehand, you said, I believe the direct quote was, what has Kendrick Lamar ever done to justify respect?
Okay, I was wrong.
Please clip that.
That's not even the coldest take I've ever had. The coldest take I've ever had was I thought that J.J. Watt was going to be a bust.
Oh, my God.
Somebody read the tweet to J.J. Watt before. It was on Part of My Take. They read my tweet to J.J. Watt. Bad time for me.
You also said Team USA was going home against Serbia. I remember that as well.
Yeah, because they were getting smoked.
And then they didn't. I think they went like a 17-0 run. After
I fueled them. Somebody handed LeBron my tweet, and he was like, "Watch." I know you guys should be thanking me. Honestly,
you're the reason that we won gold this year in men's basketball.
100%. Steph Curry wasn't making any shots. I tweeted that. Then he became the best shooter in the world again. That's what I do. I inspire people. I uplift people. The reason I get called Chargers Dot, the Chiefs were playing 500 ball. The Chargers were better than them. And look what's happened. They turned into a dynasty after that happened. I don't get enough credit for the sacrifices I make for this city.
Did you have cleats on like Harbaugh watching the game?
No. I didn't even know he did. That's great.
He did. Yes, he wears cleats before every game.
Do you have a jersey?
I have one jersey, yes.
Do you wear jerseys to the game?
Come on, dog.
I'm just asking.
Well, first and foremost, I work Sundays. When am I going to wear a jersey to a game?
You just went to you worked for the Missouri game, too.
Yeah. Okay, I have one jersey. It's a Julio Jones jersey. I have not gotten jerseys.
When was the last game that you just went to just like a regular fan? Just, I like sports. I want to be at the game.
That's a good question. I went to the Royals game I saw you at when you asked me for a photo and an autograph.
Okay, that did not happen. You had on a shirt and tie. You just wear that regular to the game?
That wasn't.
And you had a backpack. Yeah, you definitely were. Yeah, what's going on here?
It was a Royals game. I think it maybe was Royals-Dodgers. Did Dodgers come here this year?
I don't even remember. I think so, though.
It was...
They were in LA this year.
Oh, okay, last year.
Another work game.
Yo. On a scale from 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Falcons?
3, 4. The Falcons are notoriously bad in week one. I think they're like 1-5 in their last two.
Notoriously bad in week one. What week is their week?
Also, okay.
You say they're bad in week one, like they turn things like they're the Chiefs.
Going back to your conversation about preseason, Kirk Cousins begged Raheem Morris coming into this year. He's like, look, I'm a 35-plus-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles. I need live reps. I need to play.
Raheem Morris.
I need to see color. I need to get back there and feel the bullets flying.
Okay.
Raheem was like, nah.
Have you seen their schedule? Because, I mean, they have on the road against Philadelphia and they play Kansas City.
0-3 is possible.
This could turn left real fast. And you know who has no track record of digging themselves out of a hole? The Atlanta Falcons. They got a track record of digging themselves in a hole and laying there and covering the dirt over themselves and having a 5-12 very disappointing season.
Look, you never want to lose a game when the opposing team doesn't score a touchdown.
That's bad,
brother.
It's
not good. And the longest Pittsburgh drive, I think, was 44 yards.
At the crib, too.
and it was packed out.
You know how mad I would be? Think about it. You've been getting excited all year for Falcons football.
I haven't been that excited.
You got season tickets. You got a PSL. You got a new brand new Kirk Cousins. You put away that Michael Vick throwback. You bought that Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely.
And they go out there and they lose 18-10. They don't score a touchdown. They lose to Justin Fields. Embarrassing, bro.
It's Falcons football, baby. Rise up.
It's Falcons football. That's 100% true. No, you're right.
What scares me more is how Baker Mayfield looks. I mean, that
he's the
looks...
best quarterback in the division.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
You would trade right now. You would trade Kirk Cousins for Baker
Mayfield. No, I would not. Absolutely not. I'm riding with our quarterback room. How about I'll phrase it that way.
Here you go again.
Give me our full quarterback room.
Here you above go.
Who
again.
You can't even name Baker's backup.
I don't need to name Baker's backup. The starter is cooking right now. The starter is cooking. You know what? They would have scored a touchdown if you gave Baker Mayfield all those weapons. You boys couldn't even get in the end zone. Couldn't locate the end zone with a compass. Coming up on the other side. I want you to give me one week one hot take. I want you to come into my world where you just say anything.
Hot take.
Just throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. If you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, it's like, oh, it was week one.
Okay.
That's what you got to do. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let me tell you guys something, and Aaron's going to deny this. Aaron's like, hey, man, we should hang out. I'm like, yeah, man, you know what? Why don't me and you, we haven't sat down, broke bread, had a meal.
Because you keep ignoring me.
It's been a lot of that energy. Hey, man, you haven't called me, man. You haven't scheduled it.
My texts don't even go through. They don't even say delivered. They just sit there.
Hey, man, I just want to know when we're going to eat. Where are we going to eat?
I'm looking for a mentor in this business.
I promise you next week we'll go eat.
That's a lie.
I promise you I'll make time for you, okay? I promise you.
And it's so nasty. Y'all are going to find out why that's nasty.
You know, on Thursday we could go. I don't really have that much of an interest in Bills and Dolphins. I'm not a Dolphins person. You know I'm not a Dolphins believer.
Thursday, actually, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will be in town along with Moon Choi. They're approving the $250 million North End Zone renovation. And I'm going to be having dinner with
him. You know what? I would love for you to go up to him and start dancing. And then he says, what are you doing? Say that you're doing the Sankey leg. Can you do that for me? I just want you to do that for me.
You get paid to do that?
Yes, I thought it hit. That was a zinger. I'm proud of that one.
That was bad.
I'm proud of that
one. God, that
Rob
was bad.
Laughed low-key. He couldn't let you know that was a good one. He couldn't let you know. All right. In order for you to keep being on this show, I need one NFL hot take.
This is a hot take, too. We talked about this in the break.
One NFL hot take. I mean, it's got to be piping hot.
I'm ready to stand on it, too.
Okay, what is it?
I still believe in Bryce Young. He's not a bad quarterback, man. The confidence is being drained from him with every snap. And this is what happens when you have two different head coaches in 2 years. You got different play callers in 2 years. The skill positions around you are that of Liberty North. Your offensive line can't stop a nosebleed. This is what we talk about when we talk about guys going to teams and systems and organizations that can't put successful units around. The reason why, or one of the big reasons why Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, is because he's with Andy Reid. He's with Travis Kelce. C-Dot, do me one favor. Don't cheat. Name me one player who plays defense for the Carolina Panthers.
I can't.
Rob?
Oh, J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn.
Does Derrick Brown count? I know he's hurt, but Derrick Brown.
Okay, he's hurt.
J.C. Horn.
J.C. Horn, correct.
Yeah. Yes. I had to think. Because I was going to say Brian Burns, but they traded him.
No, they traded him.
For
you could
have
also gone Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, they do. You
know, I would have never guessed
Jadeveon Clowney. That's how you know Clowney almost out of the league.
That's it.
That's how you know Clowney on
that's
his last
it.
Leg.
The quarterback position, they kind of talked about this
Clowney
last night.
He used to only play
football.
For like cool cities. He used to be like, oh, I'm going to Baltimore. I'm going to Houston. You in Carolina, my brother?
He's the hometown hero
You're
now.
Cooked. Oh, you go be the hometown hero. You're done. You gotta put your jersey up in the rafters. You're done.
Think about that trade that Carolina made. This is when the draft was here in KC. They didn't know who they were picking when they made that trade.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
I refuse to believe that you give up that many assets and you're still 50-50. What is this, draft day? You wrote it? No. You don't.
So they traded away DJ Moore and they traded away who else?
They thought Bryce was going to be that guy.
I still believe in Bryce.
Have you seen anything in the NFL? I'm not saying what he did at Alabama. Have you seen a single thing in the NFL that could make you think, man, that guy can turn it around? I'm telling you this. I know you might not want to admit this. If he was white, you'd be calling him Sam Darnold.
Oh, my God. Outside.
You would not be giving a white QB this kind of love. You kind of trying to hold out for the brother, man. Okay. I'm on your side here. But let's be honest here. The way that Bryce Young has played here, he's got Christian Ponder energy is what he got.
The NFL is not at a depth for black quarterbacks right now. I don't know if you even know if you've noticed, but there's 14 others outside of Bryce Young right now. Like
it's only four good ones. It's only four good ones.
I still believe outside of the pocket, he does some really things well. And like,
yeah, because he's running for his life half the time.
I do still believe in Bryce Young. The physical stuff and the traits of him not being big enough, I thought that was completely overblown coming out.
I saw more from Anthony Richardson on Sunday than I've seen in 17 games.
Anthony Richardson has a better team around him.
I don't think Carolina's as bad as you think. I'm not saying I don't think
so. You're telling me if I put Anthony Richardson on Carolina,
they'd be better than what they are right now. I think he's done.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think he's done in Carolina. Yeah. I mean, he's cooked.
Yeah, I think he's a backup quarterback in the league.
But I think it matters what team and organization you go to.
I 100% agree with you.
If you go to a job.
I haven't seen any pop. I haven't seen any. Bryce Young has done nothing in the NFL to make me think he can be a good quarterback. Nothing. At no point has he. Oh, man, that was a good game. That was a good play. I haven't seen it. And I like Bryce Young coming out. I would have taken CJ Stroud.
Nobody watches Carolina football. Also, we all just look at the stat line and go, wow, that was terrible.
I was getting mad at Red Zone for them even cutting to the Carolina games. I was ready to call NFL.com and cancel my NFL Plus subscription. Please stop showing me Carolina.
You know, it's nasty when they cut over for like a first yard or a first down or like a routine completion on Red Zone.
I just know whenever they were cutting to a Carolina, when they were cutting to Carolina, New Orleans, it was bad for Carolina every single time. It was never good. Usually it goes a little bit both ways. You know, one team will have a big catch, the other team will do something. It was bad, bro.
Like, I also think his owner is one of the worst in the sport right now. Think about that. Coach, quarterback, ownership, GM. Like, I think that they've got three of the four wrong right now.
So someone on the text line says, Ladd is right. Carolina is bad. Young will be fine in the right situation. Give me the quarterback that's looked as bad as Bryce Young left and things worked out. Because usually, if you play how Bryce Young plays, you go somewhere else. It ain't like you turn things around. Sam Darnold was bad in New York. He then got an opportunity to go somewhere else. He kept being Sam Darnold. So give me the quarterback that was, I'm with you, bad situation, bad team, all of this kind of stuff. Give me that team. That guy then left year three. Because we just saw Justin Fields play. He looked the same. He looked with the Chicago Bears.
He looked better. He didn't turn the ball over. And the name I was going to give you in retort was...
They didn't score a touchdown.
They won the game, Dot.
Yeah, because...
He scored 18 points. Because you were talking TJ, about everybody... They were talking about nobody
TJ
scoring more than
Watt
21.
Is on his team. That's why they won. Justin Fields had 156 yards passing. It was better?
That even more so proves my point that there's nobody around him. If you give Bryce Young a TJ Watt and they win some of those games, we're not getting him run out of town in the same way. The name I want to run back to you is Geno Smith. People ran him out of the league. He wasn't a pro. He couldn't do it in the big city, in the Big Apple. What happened when he got to a team and a system and a head coach and some units around him that could actually win football games?
We think that he could. That's what we think he could.
He won comeback player of the year.
Okay. That's what we think. So we think that.
My hot take was that I still believe in him. I did not say he's going to win Super Bowl MVP. I did not say he's going to be the best quarterback
in the
league.
Do you think he's a capable starter?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
You think he's capable?
I do not think the pieces around him are good. You couldn't name one defensive player on his team.
I gave you J.C. Horn. It took me a little bit.
He's a rookie that got drafted 2 years ago.
You know what I'm saying is I feel really good if you're telling me that in the 20 years we've been thinking of this, the person that we could think of is Geno Smith. If you're telling me that Geno is the example of someone who was bad and Geno turned his career around and turned out to be good, because for every Geno Smith example you can give me, I can give you 10 that they were bad in their first stop, a team believed in them in their second stop, and they kept being bad.
What's probably next for him is a backup role. Like, I think he's
100%.
He's going to be that I mean, you know, Andy Reid loves this.
He's got the
reclamation project where it didn't work out at your first stop. We're buying low on you. You come in, you learn our system, you inherit your stock or you raise your stock, and then we flip you for a fifth rounder or something like that. Like, that's what he's going to need. But ultimately, for Bryce Young to be successful, he's got to get the heck up out of Carolina because they don't know what they're doing. David Tepper fired his last head coach after 7 games.
It ain't good. That's our guy, Aaron Ladd, joining us in studio. Aaron, I'll call you, man, all right?
No, you won't.
I'll call you, man. No, I promise I'll call you.
Okay.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to play a very simple game. We're also going to be joined by Joel Goldberg coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Panic or patience? We've seen every team in the NFL. Who are you pressing the panic button on? Who are you pressing the patience button on? Keep it right here. So drive.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.